It's time for our visit with our county agent. And I believe the last time we visited with Minnesota, University of Minnesota, Clay County Extension agent Phil Glagoza, he was motoring back from Morris, Minnesota. Phil, what are you doing today?
The exact same thing, Mick.
I had to
run down to Morris for some things, and now I'm heading back towards the Valley.
Well, that's part of the regional approach to Extension for Minnesota. Although, that's right. You are blessed at being a Clay County agent, but a lot of Minnesota has to do without. So I guess Clay County producers ought to consider themselves lucky, right?
Yeah, that's right.
They do spread you thin, though. So looks like producers made pretty good work of what was... For the most part, what I think in Minnesota, 4.2 days not suitable for field work last week.
Yeah, now there was a lot of progress made around the area, but again, where I'm sitting down in Morris, in this area last week, they got one big rain event that we didn't get up in the valley in the northwestern area, so they lost a few more days than what we had an opportunity to plant. Now we're all kind of in the same boat, but rainfall totals down in this Morris, Benson, Danvers sort of area, I've heard as much as 3 to 4 inches this over the weekend. Now up in the valley, you know, we're looking at anywhere from, say, a quarter of an inch on up to an inch is most of what I've heard in our area. So, yeah, everything's kind of shut down, but... You know, hopefully, you know, we can get some drying weather here and start to wrap things up. A lot of people are pretty far along.
Yeah, as you look out the window, are there producers who are pretty much, or are there quite a few fields where obviously no field work has been done or no planting has been happening?
I didn't see anything today driving down. Everybody's pretty much in the shop doing things around the headquarters.
Ready. Well, so I guess in Clay County, did the pendulum swing to soybeans, or did people just stick with their rotations?
I think most people are still kind of on their rotations. We're seeing maybe a little bit right now. People will start thinking if they weren't able to get some corn in, they'll shift it over to soybeans as late as we're getting. But we're still in pretty good shape on our soybeans. We've got a lot of people really wrapping things up. You know, the corn is up. It's a little bit yellow. Could use some warm weather, some sunshine, but corn's up, beans are up, I mean, are starting to come up, excuse me, sugar beets are up, you know, things are progressing pretty well, and again, percentage-wise, in terms of planting, well, you know, we're in pretty good shape.
That's, yeah, excellent. I think that's pretty much across the board, both sides of the river. Guys kind of feeling pretty good about this year. And a spring where we thought, hey, maybe, you know, or at least coming out of the winter, everybody thought this was going to be a late spring. And, boy, producers just got the work done.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess in terms of the workload right now, what we were seeing, you know, people certainly trying to wrap up soybean, a little bit of corn might have still to be planted, but, you know, soybeans, but really people are starting to shift over or getting ready to start spraying, you know, their small grains for weed control, maybe including a fungicide on this first go around for some early season leaf disease control. You know, we want to get into the fields because now we're shifting over to some of these pest management activities. We're doing our pre-emerges on our soybeans and corn. This was actually pretty timely shower for some of that activity. Get those pre-emerge herbicides activated and get them activated early and take out these early flushes of weeds.
What weeds are you worried about most this year, Phil?
Well, we're always worried, I guess, up in the valley area right now. Water hemp's the big one. Common ragweed. All the ones that fall under the resistant category. Those are the biggies to try and manage in your system. So, you know, that's why we want to make sure we get these pre-emerge products down. The small grains guys, they've got some opportunities to use a little different class of herbicide to, you know, throw a curveball at things like water hemp and common ragweed.
And that would be a reason to keep wheat in the rotation, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're seeing, you know, basically where you have more diversity in the system, the better handle the farmer has on being able to control or manage some of this resistant issues. They just had a big week-long conference on herbicide resistance in Denver, and that was one of the take-home messages, where you've got two or less crops in a rotation. Obviously, one crop wouldn't be a rotation, Mick, but if you got two or less, that's where all the problems are exacerbated, and they're made worse. But where you've got three or more crops in a rotation, you tend to be able to manage things a little bit better. And some of that goes back to the diversity of mode of action, site of action that you can use with your herbicides.
You know, down in South Dakota for my Farm Talk spring planting tour and visited with Dr. Dwayne Beck at the Dakota Lakes Research Farm down there. He called the corn soybean rotation a two crop monoculture.
Yeah.
Thought that was pretty.
It has worked for a long time. Yeah. You can't badmouth it, but with some of these issues like the weed resistance, it would be nice to have a third crop in there.
For sure. And also under the same category, it would be the soybean cyst nematode. We get more years in between soybeans. That's a good thing, isn't it?
It's when we look at some of these pest issues, whether it's disease, insects, or weeds, the longer we can kind of get that interval for a host crop or things that favor that pest, the better off we are. So, sure, soybean cyst nematode would benefit. I mean, we used to do the same thing for some of our other insect pests, wireworm, seed corn maggots, all those sorts of things. Rotation is nothing but beneficial. Corn rootworm, we never have a corn rootworm problem, or very seldom in the valley, in the Dakotas, in northwest Minnesota, because typically we never did or didn't do it on a big scale, corn on corn on corn, like they might do in southern part of Minnesota.
Right on. All righty. It's Phil Glagoza, University of Minnesota Extension, Clay County. Anything else to let us in on?
No, we could use some sun now and do a little drying and get us back into the fields. And hopefully that's going to happen as we move further into the week.
I think it's going to start tomorrow, Phil. So we can
all
work on our tan. So, all right.
Okay, Mick.
Thank you very much for the visit. Have a safe drive home, and we'll check in with you again.
You bet. Take care.
Yep. Bye now.